More Idaho Matters right now. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Our region is facing a hospitalization crisis. COVID-19 patients are flooding ICUs, which is adding to an already busy time of year. So to tackle it effectively, hospitals and states need to work as a team. But as the Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck explains, it's really not that simple.
In Washington state, the frustration is palpable.
For our healthcare workers to be having to put themselves at risk for residents of states who are not following the best science is exceptionally frustrating.
That's Cassie Sauer. She's the CEO of the Washington State Hospital Association, and she's mainly talking about Idaho. Over the past several months, Washington State has followed stricter public health protocols than many Mountain West states, including a statewide mask mandate. Most recently, it's gone into another lockdown with the current surge. Meanwhile, in Idaho, there's no plans for a lockdown, and while some local ordinances require masks,
we are seeing noncompliance with these local orders.
That's Governor Brad Little in one of his regular pandemic pressers. Little's response to this noncompliance is not to institute a statewide mask mandate, and he says law enforcement officers can't be everywhere. Instead,
this comes down to personal responsibility.
Still, Idaho is among the top states for infection rates, and some hospitals are running out of ICU beds. Back in Washington, Cassie Sauer believes her state is picking up the pieces. An increasing number of Idaho patients are showing up there, and she says some hospital managers are pushing back.
One of the hospital leaders said, we do not support extending an invitation to send us more.
But an unfunded federal mandate from 1986 says larger hospitals must take critical patients from anywhere if they have room. If they don't take the patients, they face steep fines. Mashita Beer says there's more at stake than fines, though.
We have to work together because you don't know who's going to be next, and that's really the reality of it.
Abir is an emergency doctor at the University of Michigan and a policy researcher for RAND Corporation, a nonprofit think tank.
Today it may be Detroit, tomorrow it may be Grand Rapids.
She says resentment and feelings of not wanting to treat people across the border are a manifestation of something else, the stress and mental fatigue of watching people die while citizens and politicians refuse to listen.
Because I think at the root of not wanting to take care of people from across the border is mental health issues, is stress, is kind of having it, you've reached your limit.
Abir says we need to figure out how to work on a national scale. Stop the state-by-state bickering like we saw with PPE and ventilators early on in the pandemic. She says we need a national plan so hospitals aren't pitted against each other for a pool of limited resources.
We have to really realize that the pool is narrow, but not everyone is going to need all those resources at any given time. So there's definitely plenty of room for sharing and collaboration.
And she says it's critical for governments to use money and recognition to incentivize hospitals, which may be competitors, to work together now to save as many lives as possible. Ian Hunter sees the need for collaboration. He's chief of staff at Sheridan Memorial Hospital in Wyoming.
COVID is so hard.
Right now, he says he can send his trauma patients to Billings, Montana, but they have no beds left for his COVID-19 patients. Still, the hospital is working to help him with those patients in other ways.
We do telemedicine with them. So daily we have consultations where they can help us manage some of our sicker patients.
As a small hospital, he said they never expected to be caring for patients who were this sick. Hunter expects infections in his county to continue to surge. And as the public health officer in the county, he ordered a mask mandate. Not his state governor, though. Mark Gordon, like Idaho's governor, continues to rely on personal responsibility and local governments, even while he recognizes the crisis.
When you see Eastern Idaho Regional Medical Center close their hospital, that's a problem. When you see Billings Clinic close their hospital, it's a problem. When South Dakota has to send their patients to Wyoming because they're too full, that's a problem. And when we have capacity issues down in Colorado, that's a problem.
Moving forward, every state in the Mountain West projects COVID-19 rates will climb and their healthcare systems could be overwhelmed. Some Utah facilities are already rationing care, and that's even before we see the fallout from Thanksgiving. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
And Madeline is joining us live now to talk a little bit more about her reporting on this topic. Madeline, you touched a little bit on mental health in your story. How important is it to make sure that healthcare workers are okay as we're seeing hospitals continue filling up?
It's absolutely critical. Kind of what Masheed was saying in there was essentially, if healthcare workers start reaching their limit, that will not only affect their work, but their ability to even want to work, right? We're already mm-hmm. seeing what we saw when I was talking with Ian Hunter for this story with his hospital in Wyoming, Sheridan, Wyoming. He said that they're already doing weekly sessions with all of their healthcare workers because they're already starting to see signs of depression and PTSD. If they, the hospital workers, can't take time, and if we cannot give them a space to take that time, even amid this chaos, we could end up with a really massive problem on our hands with healthcare workers just not even being able to or wanting to perform their job fully. And that's hard to say because healthcare workers, their whole thing is, you know, to help other people. But when anyone reaches their limit, that becomes a real challenge. I think there was a viral Twitter thread that came from this Dr. Taylor Nichols not too long ago, who he's a Jewish doctor who one of his patients that came in was, you know, he was struggling to breathe. They were probably going to have to intubate him. And they had to take off his shirt and he was covered in Nazi tattoos, SS tattoos. But usually, you know, he's seen that before as a physician, you know, he would go still do his job just as he would anytime. But this is the first time that as he went to intubate this man, which puts other healthcare professionals at risk, he actually he hesitated. He's like, I'm this person wouldn't do this for me. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time he's ever hesitated with that. And he mm-hmm. also chalked that up to maybe I'm not okay. Maybe the stress is finally getting to me. So right. With all that said, mental health, incredibly, incredibly important right now.
And the doctor that you interviewed, Madeline, talked about the need for a cogent national hospitalization strategy as we move forward. Can you kind of explain a little bit more about what she meant by that?
Right. Yeah. And so Masheed Abir, she basically said that we need from the top down a strategy because before, I mean, we saw at the beginning of the pandemic with PPE supplies, state governments were starting to have to buy those for their own healthcare workers in their own state. Same with ventilators. It became a state by state thing. And that kind of set up a process where states started only wanting their, you know, becoming kind of almost insulated. And this is my state. I want my people here and pitting people in one state against another. Mm. And that is not what we need right now going forward in healthcare, because like Masheed said, we're going to face a time that probably most areas are going to have a major wave and they're going to need help from somewhere else. So we need to figure out how we get supplies to the most critical when they're needed. And then, you know, figure out how to bring those supplies back if that other hospital needs them again. You know, there needs to be a cogent national way to do that. And that's got to include some sort of plan and potentially some financial incentives she talked about. And I know people generally don't like to hear that. We're financially incentivizing hospitals to work together and set up systems where they're trading supplies and information, but it may be necessary. And it's something that needs to be discussed is what she's saying, essentially.
So let's talk about what you mentioned, this idea of, like, you know, states kind of bad mouthing each other, right, and getting frustrated with each other. I mean, we've already seen that about the frustrations that Washington state health officials are feeling towards Idaho. I mean, in fact, the governor of Idaho, Jay Inslee, you know, came out and kind of called out our governor in a way, right, a few weeks back. So are there other parts of the country where this dynamic is playing out, where a state or a region has a political and a public health philosophy of, you know, personal responsibility, but then needs to send patients to a state with a more regulated approach?
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. And that's what we saw even in my story, that's what you see in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And there's this almost political hierarchy where you have governors, especially Republican governors, who might be up for re-election. And unfortunately, that looks to be playing a role. Where you see Republican governors who maybe are stepping down or not up for re-election, like you saw in Utah, they're more willing to pass more health mandates because that's not going to affect them politically, where in other states it would. And so that, so we do see that in Wyoming. We do see that in Idaho. In Montana, the governor there lost his race, the Democratic governor, and now there's a Republican governor coming in his place that is going to try to do, he's already showed that he doesn't want as many health mandates, and he doesn't believe so much in the mask mandates and things like that, because he wants to, you know, show that he is a stronger governor than the last one. So politics does play a big role in this. And then at the same time, like you said, they're saying, rugged individualism, we're doing this ourselves. But as they're filling up, they're having to depend on these other states that are putting more things in place that do, you know, aren't as set in their ways of rugged individualism. That basically kind of negates this idea of rugged individualism in the first place.
And we should note, you had mentioned this, that there is a federal law that requires hospitals to take on critical patients. So it's not like a state that may have more strict mandates can say, nope, we're not taking your patients, correct?
Absolutely. So yeah, it's called EMTALA, and that's actually a massive deal. It's basically been called a de facto healthcare policy in the United States for the uninsured. If you walk uninsured into an emergency room, EMTALA is what's going to force that hospital to take you. EMTALA, was passed as part of a bunch of other kind of healthcare regulations in the 80s, and now has become kind of this massive force in the United States as far as, yeah, you having to take uninsured patients. But it also requires, if you don't have room at your hospital anymore, and you have to transfer a critically ill patient to somewhere else, and that other hospital has room, and they have access to tools to help that person, they have to take them.
And Madeline, really quick before I let you go, summarize, I mean, how bad are things right now? I mean, we know, I believe that there was some media availability earlier today by local doctors talking about their capacity in hospitals.
It's bad. There's no way to look around this. I mean, what we're seeing in Idaho already, we've seen some reports of ICU beds in the entire region being full. When I talked to Ian Hunter in northern Wyoming, he said there was not an ICU bed for his COVID patients available within 400 miles. Wow. And it was getting farther. They check every day. In northeast, like northwestern Colorado, in that corner, I talked with a woman there, and she says all their backup hospitals are all filling up. And Seattle and Denver and even Salt Lake, they're all taking patients on a very much patient by patient basis. They're all, this is bad. People need to understand that.
Well, we've been talking with Madeline Beck of the Mountain West News Bureau. To find more of Madeline's reporting, you can check out BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Madeline, appreciate everything you do.
Thank you very much.
More Idaho Matters next.